Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank you. Amen. I just want to thank you. Amen. I want to give you the glory. Anybody feel that way today where you just want to thank God? Amen. For everything that he's done for you. I know I'm thanking God and praising God on today because God is good and worthy to be praised. Hey, 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 this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Thanks for joining us. Pastor Anthony and I are so blessed to have you join us each and every week for the Woman to Woman to Man show. And we thank God for each and every one of you that make this show what it is, that make this broadcast what it is. Last night was awesome. Last week was awesome. Amen. We had an awesome, awesome time. Amen. With the Lord. There were just so many of you calling in, and we just, oh my God, we are just still so excited about what God does. Each and every time we come together here, he is never short of amazement. My God, he never fails to amaze me. God never fails to amaze me. I'm just so glad to be saved. Amen. Anybody glad to be saved today? I am glad to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Just so glad to be saved on today. Amen. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We have an exciting broadcast on today. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You'll be able to call in. You'll be able to call in and let your voice be heard. You'll be able to talk to us about what's on your heart. So we're excited about that. We're really excited about that. I'm doing some computer things here. Even as I talk to you, just getting started, it's a beautiful day outside. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get out there after the broadcast. I'm going to go out and get some fresh air. And I highly recommend that you do the same, that you do the same. Go out and take a walk. Go out and go to the mall and walk around. Amen. Don't spend too much money, but go to the mall and walk around and just observe this world that the Lord has created. Amen. And be a light. You know, the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there while you're out there, be some light and be some salt Look for somebody that you can bless. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look for somebody that you can bless. You know, sometimes when we're in the middle of a situation, sometimes when we're going through hard times, we get so focused on our dilemma and what we're going through and how hard it is for us. And sometimes you can get consumed with your circumstances. But God has given us a way out. You know, the Bible says that God will never put any more on you than you can handle. And just when you thought that you have had enough, the Bible says He has already provided a way out. He provides a way out. There is already provided a way out. Amen. And that way out is through the cross of Christ. You know, Jesus died so that you and I could have the victory. So no matter what you're walking through on today, know that you already have the victory. I said you already have the victory. You already have the victory, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it feels, no matter, you know, what people are saying about the outcome. Just know that you have the victory already, so you are not defeated. And another way that you can get away from your own problems and not be consumed about what's going on in your life is to go out and be a blessing to somebody else. Go out and be light in the middle of somebody else's darkness. You know, Pastor Anthony and I, we do that every single week, every Saturday. We're here talking you through. You know, we just pray that we're being a blessing. We pray that we are being a blessing to you. We are here talking you through, walking you through some of the toughest situations in life. You know, we're here. That's what we do for 2 hours on Saturday when other people are cleaning their homes, other people are out shopping, other people are getting ready, getting their hair done, did, and their nails done, did for church. I'm sitting here in my dining room / office, and I am talking you through, amen, walking you through some of the tough times of life. You know, this is the sacrifice that we make because we love it. You know, we love it. We were born for this. Pastor Anthony and I, you know, we just, you know, truly have it in our hearts that we want to see you victorious. You know, more than anything, we want to see you victorious. And guess what? As we are being a blessing to you, we are the first partakers of the very words that we speak out of our mouths. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. As a woman thinketh, so is she. So as we open our mouths to begin to encourage somebody else, we encourage ourselves. As we open our mouths to begin to encourage somebody else, we encourage ourselves. Because guess what? We have problems too. You know, we have situations and circumstances in our life that come up that make us say, "Whoa, Jesus. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus." You know, we have situations that make us want to throw up our hands and speak. But guess what? We refuse to quit. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Well, you're ready to stand up and say, "You know what? To quit. I refuse to give up. I refuse to throw up my hands and surrender to the circumstances of my life. I refuse to wimp out. I refuse to check out of the fight. I refuse to throw in the towel." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you like, "I want to fight." And that's one thing that anybody that knows me will tell you about me. I'm a fighter. You know, I am not just a survivor. I'm more than a conqueror, amen, and I'm a fighter, and I'm going to fight. So Pastor Anthony and I, we go through some situations in life that are really, really tough. And, you know, these Saturdays that we come on and we begin to talk to you and with you and dialogue with you, we're helping ourselves too, you know, because sometimes you have to open your mouth and talk your way through a situation. You have to declare a thing. You have to decree a thing by faith. You can't. Listen. When things get hard, you can't just sit in the corner of the couch and look blankly at the television set and spaz out. You know, you can't get quiet. You can't just sit down and surrender, you know, to the emotions that will try to overwhelm you due to the dire circumstances that you might be going through. You have to fight. You have to fight. Did I tell you? You have to fight. And how do we fight? You know, Ephesians 6:10, Paul exhorts us to, after we have done all we can do, to stand in the power of God's might, to put on the full armor of God and to stand in the power of his might. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to come right back. We're going to do a short break, and I'm going to come back. I have a caller. I'll be right back.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
We
God.
There's no one who like gave. Who gave all my life.
Who paid the price.
Who paid our price like you.
There's only one. There's no, if you know there's only one, make some noise.
Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God and a mighty God. Well, I'm back. Amen. That was an emergency call. When you, you know, you start seeing those numbers come in, they come in once and you ignore them, and then they come in twice. You know that, especially when it's family, amen, you know that you need to take that call. Amen. But everything is well. But what I was saying before I played that song is that Pastor Anthony and I go through stuff also, and what we do when we go through, we're not about to sit down in a corner and be quiet. We're going to fight, and that's what the Bible tells us to do. When problems come, when circumstances come, we have to fight. We are more than conquerors. That's why that scripture is in the Bible. We are not wimpy Christians. Christians are not wimps. Jesus Christ was not a wimp. Amen. Jesus Christ was no pushover. We remember the text about when he went into the synagogue and turned over the tables. Jesus Christ was not to be played with. Amen. When he walked the earth, when he walked this earth, he was not to be played with. God is not like that. He is not soft. You know, so many people get into the church and we lose that tenacity that we had out in the world, and that's not what God would require of us. He wants us to sanctify that tenacity, but he does not want us to lose that tenacity, that fervor, that zeal, that edge that says, don't mess with me. You know, don't mess with me. But that edge is not going towards people any longer. Now it's going towards the devil. Now we have that thing that says, you know what, I'm the wrong one to mess with today, devil, because I'm like Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. And he was talking to Peter, but the devil was operating through Peter. Amen. When Peter rebuked him about how Jesus was going to complete his mission, Jesus said, Satan, get behind me, because you don't have the things of God in mind for me, but the things of man. And that's what we have to do. We have to fight. We have to fight. I was talking about, just before I played the song, I was talking about Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, where Paul exhorts us to put on the full armor of God and stand in the power of his might, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, feet shod with the readiness to go and spread this gospel of peace, the shield, the faith, the sword, which is the word of God, praying always in the spirit. Hallelujah. I mean, this is our armor. Put on the full armor of God. And again, If we did not have to fight, why would we need armor? You know, why? This is our spiritual armor. This is our spiritual armor. And when we pick up the word, it's not just so that we can know the word, the sword. The word is represented here as the sword. It's a double-edged sword. The Bible tells us that the word of God is a double-edged sword, and it cuts the sun, to, you know, to this, even to the soul and the spirit, to the bone and marrow, over going down to discern the innermost thoughts of a man. See, that word, it cuts. It cuts going in and it cuts going out. Amen. So we have to know we need to get the word in. And guess what? We need to get the word out. So when we are going through, when you are going through, speak the word of God over your circumstances. Do not allow your lips to be used to speak the devil's plans over your life. You know, like when you get into a situation, you're like, oh, things ain't never going to get better. Oh, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay all these bills. Oh, this is not going to work. You know, you are speaking self-defeating words over your life that are only from the devil. That's not of God, because God says that we are able to do all things through Christ. The Bible says that, you know, there is nothing impossible with God. You know, some things are impossible with man, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. And Jesus said, you shall have what you say. You know, so we have to be careful about the words that we speak out of our mouth. I don't care how bad it gets. You don't need to be speaking words of negativity over your life. You know, it could get real bad, but do not allow yourself to be used by the devil, because it's what you say out of your mouth is going to manifest in your life eventually. So, you know, if you slip and say something negative concerning your situation or concerning your circumstances, then you need to be quickly repenting and speaking words of positivity over your life. Even if you don't know scripture, a positive cancels out a negative. You have to begin to speak positive, and you got to speak positive on a regular basis. You know, get into the habit of speaking words of life over your life. Speak life over your own life. Speak life. I can do this. We're going to make it. Nothing is impossible for me. I'm debt free. Speak those things that are not as though they are. We have people of God, and even those of you who are not saved, I want to even persuade some of you who are not saved that the Christians, we really have it good. We have it so good. We have it so good. We have the best instruction manual that anybody could ever create. Our instruction manual was created by God. Every word was God-breathed. Amen. Every word in our Bible, though. The whole Bible, all scripture, even though God used man to write the Bible, all of it was God-breathed. And when you think about the fact that God breathed his words into the heart of man and had the man to write these words on paper, amen, so that this book, all these years later, is still being used as our basic instructions before leaving earth, as our Bible, our basic instruction before leaving earth, these words are still being used to instruct us on how to walk out our kingdom walk, how to walk out this lifestyle. Listen, Pastor Emily said it the other day. He said, show me a weak Christian, and I'll show you a weak prayer life. Show me a weak Christian, a defeated Christian, and I will show you a weak prayer life. Ouch. You know, that probably hits somebody really hard, because prayer is not something that the flesh wants to do. We don't want to pray. You know, we want to sit on the couch and watch TV, you know, and let somebody talk to us or entertain us or pray for us or preach to us. But I'm telling you on today, you must be praying. You have to pray. Prayer is a weapon. The Bible talks about it. Again, I talked about it in Ephesians chapter 6. You have to pray. You have to pray before you could talk to somebody else about your problem, before you begin to call your mother or your father, before you call your sister, your brother, your best friend, or your pastor. You have to pray. You have to pray. Prayer is you going to God and saying, God, you know what? I need you in on this one. You know, I need you to actually spearhead this one, you know, because I can't do it. As a matter of fact, we need to be going to God every single day before we start our day and saying, God, I need you in on this one. I need you to spearhead this one. I need you to order my steps, God. I need you to let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. I need you to put a guard around my lips, God. I need you, Lord, to help me not to curse anybody out. Lord, I need you to transform my life. I need you to renew my mind. I need you, God, to lead me by your Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. I need you to be with me every step of the way and every minute of the day. Does anybody know what I'm talking about on today? We can't do this thing by ourselves. We need God. You know, people don't like to sing, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. You know, people talk about songs like that, but the thing about it, they say, well, God is here, you know, but there's nothing wrong with telling God you need him, amen, because we tell our spouses, I need you. We tell our friends, I need you. We tell people, I need you. Why not tell God, I need you? Why not tell God, I love you? You know, as a matter of fact, when we go to God in prayer, why not go and just say, Lord, I love you? Why not open our mouths in the morning and say, God, thank you for waking me up this morning? Why not just be in relationship with him like that? I told Pastor Anthony, and I'm going to open the phone line. Pastor Anthony is working. I tell you, he's one of the hardest working men I know. I don't see him on the switchboard. He works every single Saturday at a secular job at FedEx. He is a man that is truly my priest, my provider, my protector in this earth realm. Amen. That is truly a man of God. But I was telling Pastor Anthony the other day, I was like, you know, we find it hard to pray because we have the wrong perspective about prayer. We're looking at prayer as something that we have to do, as a chore, as opposed to something that we have to do as a necessity. Like for me, like breathing is something I have to do. You know, it's not something I have to do. It's not a chore. It's something that I have to do. I must breathe in order to live. You understand what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with prayer. I must pray in order to live. Prayer is my life. Is my lifeline. Is my lifeline. Is my direct connection to God, who is, my God, who is the author and the finisher of my faith, who is my everything. The Bible tells us to cleave to God because he is our life. He says, cleave to God because he is your life. Cleave to God. How are we going to cleave to God if we are not praying, if we are not communicating with God? We look at prayer, and I see you, caller, I'm going to put you on the air. We look at prayer as a grueling chore instead of a delightful necessity. Oh, my God. Prayer is so precious. I mean, it's a privilege. Can you imagine having a privilege to go before the king? Wow. I mean, as Apostle Emeka would say, wow. You know, wow. Can you imagine the privilege every day, anytime you want, you have the privilege to go before the king and to pray and say, hi, Lord, how are you? Hi, how was your day? And go tell God about your day. And then begin to say, I need this. And he told Esther, he extended the golden scepter, the king, the earthly king, extended the golden scepter to Esther, and said, what do you want, Esther? I'll give it to you, up to half the kingdom. And Esther, you know, said, I just want to have a feast, and I want you to bring her enemy. She said, bring Haman with you. I want to have a feast, and I want him to be the guest. And the king prepared the table before her in the presence of her enemy, amen. And then she was able to annihilate her enemy, the same enemy that was wanting to destroy her, by going to the king. My God. And we have to, you know, we have that same privilege, but we don't use it. Prayer is the most underused weapon that we have as Christians. We, you know, we think that's the last thing I want to do is pray. Oh, I start yawning, falling asleep, it's boring, other things, I got other things to do. What more do you have to do? What more do you have to do than pray? Your life sometimes will be falling apart. Sometimes life is falling apart, but we still won't pray. What is up with that? You know, I'm trying to help somebody because God, let me tell you something. My time with God is the most precious time of my day. No matter what I'm going to face, but I told you, Pastor Emily and I have problems too, right? No matter what I'm going to face, no matter how it was when I went to sleep that night, as a matter of fact, it was always beautiful because God puts me to sleep every night. Come on, somebody. So, but before I decide to get before the Lord in prayer at night, and before, and no matter how bad it was before that time, prayer puts me to sleep. I sleep good. You'll hear Pastor Emily say, we sleep good at night. When, you know, me, I'm a laid out, so I go to bed late. But when I do put my head on the pillow, I sleep good. And when we wake up in the morning, when I wake up in the morning, that's the first thing I do is talk to God. Good morning, Lord. Thank you, Father. I love you, Lord. And right away, he comes and gives me the most beautiful hug. The most beautiful hug. And lets me know, I'm here, daughter. I'm right here for you. I'm here. And I'm his baby girl, you know. And I just thank God for the opportunity to go before him in prayer. Hallelujah. You know, and that's something preachers, especially preachers, we need to make sure we are praying. We want to talk about God, but we won't talk to him. You know, and we need to stop talking about God only and begin to talk to him. Amen. So pray. Speak words of life over your life. Pray. Go before God and ask him what the plan is for your life and thank him for where you are right now. Be grateful. Amen, for where you're walking right now, and get into that word. Get that word in. Get it in. You cannot get the word out if you don't get it in. And faith comes by hearing the word of God, so you need a preacher, amen. As a matter of fact, you need a pastor because your pastor has your word, amen. Your pastor is going to speak over your life. I pray. We pray every week. Pastor Emily and I pray, God, what is it that you want to say to your people that will be assembled at 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey on this Sunday? What is every week? We pray all through the week. What is it that you want to say? Amen. And then we go before the people and we say what God has said. Amen. So get that word in. Get it into your ear gates. And get it in through your eye gates, amen, which means you have to feast your eyes on the word of God. Eat the word by reading the word, amen. I eat the word by reading the word, amen. And then you have to sow the word, amen. So you sow the word into your heart, amen, by speaking the word, amen. So you hear the word by hearing the preacher, amen, preferably your pastor as much as possible. At least every Sunday, listen to your pastor as he gives you what God has given him for you, or she has gives you what God has given her for you. You read that word, amen, and you eat that word by eating it with your eyes, and then you sow that word into your heart by speaking the word, amen, into your own life. Sow that word into your heart. Take that word as your word for your success in your life. Amen. Praise God. So you got to fight. I'm just saying all of that to say, you're like, somebody might be saying, well, Pastor Rebecca, you're teaching today. Because I am sensing prophetically that there is a spiritual famine in the land. That the reason so many are feeling defeated and so many are living defeated lives is because we are not in fellowship. We are not in relationship with God. Amen. You have to get in relationship with God. You have to be in relationship with God. He's not a Santa Claus. He's not a sugar daddy. Amen. Hallelujah. I was sitting in church one day, and God said, tell my people to stop pimping me. Tell them to stop pimping me. God is not a slot machine. He's not, you know, we can't just pull a handle and expect God to deliver stuff and money to us. You know, we he's not a genie in the bottle. We can't rub the bottle and expect things to be manifest in our life. We need to be in relationship with God. God wants to be in relationship with us. That's why Jesus died. I'm getting excited. I want to take some calls, but that's why Jesus died. Jesus died because there was no relationship. Listen, we got to go back to Eden. God created us. He created you and me to be in relationship with him. Jesus died because the relationship had been severed by sin. The devil had gotten in between the relationship between man and God. God threw up his hands and said, forget them. Let me let them see what it's like without me. 400 years we went without hearing a word from God. There was no prophecy for 400 years until John the Baptist came on the scene and began to cry out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. God was coming back through Jesus to be in relationship with us. He stepped down into earth, my God, to be in relationship with us. Amen. So how can we, how dare we? And then he died on the cross. Come on, we just had Resurrection Sunday last week. God died on the cross for us. So Jesus died on the cross for us so that we could be in direct fellowship again with God the Father. Amen. There's nothing between us and God now. Nothing but us. We stand in the way, our own way of being in relationship with God. And God is saying, if my people who are called by my name, would repent, turn from their sin, their wicked ways, humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. We have to be in relationship with God. Amen. And the most important link, I believe, is missing, and that's prayer. We're going to take some calls. Amen. Hallelujah. Erico 754, God bless you. Amen. Apostle Amica, God bless you, sir. You're on the air. How are you today?
Wow. All I can say is wow. You went in. You took us in. And I'm thankful. You stirred me when you were talking about prayer. And then you went full circle with it just now. You know, how would we feel if someone that we really cared for, really loved, the only time we heard from them is when they need something.
Mm-hmm.
You would feel real bad. You would feel real bad. The only time you call me, the only time you want to have anything to do with me is when you want. And that's the way prayer is. That's the way people pray. They only pray when they need God to do something. But when everything is okay, I got this. That's all they say. I got this. I don't need no help. I got this. I can take care of this myself. I can handle this myself. And that's not the way to treat God. Because you know, okay, let me even go further with that. When you was in love, and when you were dating that person, once upon a time, all of us been there, but you would talk to them to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You hang up. You wouldn't say that, but you're just holding the phone with them on there, listening to them breathe. And that's how precious that person was. And you didn't go to sleep without calling and talking and what have you. You didn't, first thing in the morning, well, baby, what you doing? How you feel? Good morning. Oh, what's going on? That's the relationship that we should have with God when it comes to prayer. Prayer is just talking and communicating, telling the Lord, you know, this and this and this. And then watch this. then not just telling him what's going on, but listening for him to speak back to you.
Wow.
Father, in the name of Jesus, look, I got a problem with this, I got a problem with that, I got a problem with this. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then you tell him all your problems and your situations, and like you said, you want to pull a slot machine handle and say, now fix it. Do it. But you have to wait, and patiently wait and say, well, now, Lord, tell me how to handle this. And wait for a word. Wait for him to speak to you either audibly or through the scripture, lead you in direction. That's another problem that a lot of people are going through, because they just stop at petition and don't receive confirmation or instruction on what to do.
Yeah, and that's just so powerful. I love what you said, and Pastor Anthony, we see you here. God bless you, honey. God bless you, Pastor Anthony.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Yeah, we're talking about prayer today, and Apostle Amica just made a powerful statement. I love what you said, Apostle Amica, about going to sleep. You know, when being in love, when we were in love, and honey, you and I, Pastor Emily, we just had this conversation on our couch. When you're in love, Apostle Amica said, you'll be on that phone all night. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You know, and you will go to sleep with that phone live. You're in your place, and I'm in my place. I think we had a couple of those conversations, Pastor Anthony. And, you know, we're on the phone and just go to sleep with each other in two different towns with the phone alive, and then wake up, and you're still there, you know. And that's how that's the beautiful, beautiful part of the relationship, where you just can't get enough of each other. You can't get enough of talking to each other, and that's just so powerful. And then, Apostle Amica, you talked about waiting for the response off. And we see you calling. We're going to put you on the air. You talked about waiting for that response. At least, if you don't even get the answer, how about this? At least get the peace that surpasses all understanding. Wow.
That's it. God bless you, Pastor Anthony.
God bless you. I'm so glad we're talking about this today, because it's amazing how the weapon of prayer, it's amazing how effective that weapon is. And so many sick, Pastor, as you just said, so many don't have that peace and that release that even comes from prayer. Bible says, bring supplications and prayers with thanksgiving. In other words, even when we're going through, we can be thankful. Oh, glory be to God. Even when we're going through, he's up to something, and it's amazing how powerful prayer can be. I've seen it, you know, almost 20 years being saved. Baby, you and I have seen the power of prayer in action. And it does make you wonder why so many people don't do it more regularly. On last week, I said we need to pray more specifically, and pray more often. And that's just what Jesus did. You know, he prayed earnestly, and he was specific about, God, if you can remove this cup. He didn't pray for the lost souls at that time. He didn't pray for our understanding and our enlightenment. He prayed for that cup to be removed. And then he got up, like you said, that release was there, because he said, nevertheless, oh, glory be to God. He said, nevertheless, and as you just said, we can get a release when we pray. Jesus got a release to continue in the perfect will of God, not the permissive will, but the perfect will of God. And he said, nevertheless, in other words, he got a response from God, and that's what prayer can do. And Henny, just one more thing I want to, before you put that caller through, or before we move on, the only way we're going to get to that, like you said, that relationship where it was so wonderful in the beginning, we got to do that even when prayer gets tiresome, when prayer gets boring, when prayer gets to the place where we don't have time to pray. You got to force yourself through those moments and find yourself uttering something to God through Jesus Christ and through the help of the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, press through those hard moments, then you'll find yourself more regularly praying, and it won't be so trying, and it won't be so hard to pray. But just like a baby falls down when they're trying to walk and they get a few bumps and bruises, we got to take baby steps first.
Yeah.
Can I have a piece of that, please?
Yeah.
Before you take, just said something. Prayer, the old sayings used to say prayer changes things.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see things change by prayer. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes things won't change, but prayer will change you.
Yes.
Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, I always talk about how years ago my wife and I, you know, and my wife would do little things that irritated me. She didn't know it irritated me as bad. And I would tell the Lord, I said, Lord, you see what she's doing? And he said, yeah, I see what. And so I would fast and pray about the situation. Now, today, she still does some of the things that irritate me, but my response, because of prayer, my response to what she does has changed. So
yeah.
Prayer changed me. Might not change her, but it changed me, my attitude, and the way I see things that she does. So then prayer does change. Prayer does change. And as Pastor Anthony said, when we learn the benefits of praying, then you're like, listen, I ain't got to talk about that. We ain't got to fuss and fight about that. We ain't got to do that. All I'm going to do is just go and get in my closet and pray. And watch God move. You know, some of you used to say, watch God move. Watch him move. Watch him do him. Because we can't do him.
Wow.
Only God can be God. God can only do what necessary, what we need to be done. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Wow. You know, that's so powerful. There's a saying in the motivational arena that your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. But how about this? What Apostle Amica just said, and Pastor Emily just said, what we're talking about with prayer is that your altitude will determine your attitude. You know, it's like as you go higher in this walk with God, as you go higher and go to a higher place to deal with your circumstances and to deal with the difficult situations in your life, as you take it higher, as you take it to the Lord in prayer, then that will determine your attitude. That would give you a better attitude about what you're walking through. It would even change and impact your attitude so that you're dealing with things with a whole new attitude. So we need to go to prayer and even to get our attitude adjusted. We need an attitude adjustment. You know, a lot of us, the problems that we have are not because people are getting on our nerves. It's because we need an attitude adjustment. We need to change our attitude. We just got a funky attitude in the first place. You know, if the truth were to be told, a lot of us, you know, I have had some, let me just talk about myself, because I feel people be like, what is she talking about? She's squirming. But a lot of the times, we're just in a funky mood anyway, you know, and because we haven't prayed, because we haven't gone before the Lord and let him bathe us in the Spirit. And we're going through it, we're in a funky mood anyway, and then the first thing somebody says to us is just that quick for us to lose our temper or go off on them or get angry or get a spirit of offense because the attitude wasn't right in the first best place. And that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And in my life, I know I've had those times. So I need prayer. I need to go to the Lord in prayer. Even with my Holy Ghost-filled, sanctified, anointed self, I need to go to the Lord in prayer, because there are times when I just don't want to be bothered. There are times when I got so much pressure on my own that I'm like, if I don't go to God, I'm going to say something or do something that I don't need to say or do. We're only talking about our own experiences here, you know, just being really real and saying, you know what, we all need prayer, because we all need to have ourselves. David said, create in me, Lord, a pure heart with which to worship me. Clean me with hyssop. Wash me with hyssop. You know, purify me, clean me, and I will be clean. You know, we need to let God clean us. And when we go into the presence of the Lord, that's the thinking stuff that we carry with us sometimes that tries to attach itself to us on a day-to-day basis, that stuff cannot go with us when we go before the Lord. All of that stuff has to be, will fall off of us. That stuff will fall off of you when you go before the Lord. You know, a bad attitude, negativity, thinking, mean spirit, all those spirits. When you go before the Lord, is it James who says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, resist the devil and he will flee? My God, when you draw near to God, the devil ain't going up in there. He can't. So we have to pray. We have to pray. And that's something we want to make sure we're doing a whole lot of, is praying. Amen. Our caller fell off. We're opening up the phone lines, 646-652-4832, for anybody who wants to call in. Apostle Amica, Pastor Amica, you guys just left me hanging out there. I'm telling you.
you was ministering. You were telling us, and to chime in on what you're saying. Prayer is our daily communication with God. Daily communicate. We as married couples, we daily communicate with our spouses. And we talk about this, we talk about that, we talk about good stuff and sometimes not so pleasant stuff, but it's on a daily communication. And as Pastor Anthony said earlier, then it matures you. Your prayer life would mature as the more you pray. Prayer life matures you as well as you as a person of God, a man or woman of God. It will mature you. And this is the thing that we got to really, that's why we mentioned always pray. The Bible says always pray. Always keep a prayer. Pray that the Lord give you a praying spirit. They said Smith Wigglesworth, he didn't pray. He didn't go 15 minutes without praying. He wouldn't go 15 minutes without praying. But he only prayed 15 minutes. He only prayed 15 minutes at a time. And so then we ask God for a praying spirit, that your mindset and your heart is always praying before God, speaking and communicating and talking to him. Because, like you just said, life's challenges alone. Well, man, what should I do? Lord, what should I do? What should I do? How should I handle this so that, one, that I will be victorious, two, that you will get the glory?
See that?
How can we be more of a conqueror than we don't use the weapons, as Pastor Andrew was telling us? Use the weapons that God has given us. And like you were saying earlier, step on that breastplate, step on that helmet, step on the guards and what have you, all the armor that God has given us.
Yes, amen. Amen. Snap it on. Get dressed. We got to get dressed. Amen. We're going to take this caller. This caller's been patiently waiting. Pastor Anthony, did you say something, honey?
No, that was not me.
Okay, we're going to take this caller. Area code 908, you're on the air. God bless you. Your mic is open. Let your voice be heard.
God bless you, Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca Simmons and definitely Apostle Amico. I'm in agreement with all three of y'all. When I look back on my life and how I got back, how I started going to church as in my late teens, I never really understood the meaning of prayer and how it changes things. It changes your attitude and so on and so forth. So they always say the late bloomers is always never too late. But what I'm saying to you is that I made it necessary as a Christian, you know, been saved not too long ago, but I noticed and made it necessary that it was time that I make it my business to pray as much as I need to, not wait on my spouse, although my wife, she prays with authority. But I never was great at praying, but I found myself communicating with God. Sometimes I go in the bathroom and I kneel before the toilet and I ask him to transform my mind, renew my mind, you know, adjust my attitude, because I have been sometimes, you know, frustrated, not because of the circumstances we've been dealing with, but because of a lot of things. And I've learned to, you know, repent also, but I also ask him to transform me because he's still working with me. You know, I'm a babe in Christ. I'm gradually, you know, progressing. And I can see that not with just the fact that I got away from my addiction with cigarettes and drinking occasionally, but the fact of the matter is, in my heart, I need change and I need prayer. And just like the song R. Kelly came out with, prayer changes things, it does change. It does change things. Because I've seen where it brought me and her from. I can remember the conversations me and my wife had before we even got engaged. We used to talk sometimes up to like 6 in the morning. I'd be in camp on campus, and my wife would be where she was staying at, and we would just talk to like it was no tomorrow. And I loved that conversation because it was always food for thought. This is why I love her to death, because she's not someone that I would say, you know what, I'll get back to you, because I don't feel the conversation-wise. And we all have those moments where we love speaking to the people, or rather loved ones who are about talking worthwhile, so to speak. And I'm just very grateful, and I just ask y'all to continue to pray for me, but I make it my business to pray as much as I can.
Amen, 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 praise God. And that's all it is. I was saying earlier, Amel, that sometimes we have the wrong perspective about prayer, and that's what prevents us from praying. You can pray, like you said, you can pray anywhere, at any time of the day. Prayer is basically communicating with God. We can communicate and thank him. We can petition him. Or just make sure he's still there, you know, just to tap into the presence of the Holy Spirit, tap into the presence of God. And God will continue to be there. Every time you read, he says, you call for me, I'll be there. You know, and with prayer, like you said, you were not a good prayer, you were never good at praying. And I think that hinders a lot of people to feel like you have to pray like you hear other people pray. You know, your prayer might not be as eloquent as the next person, but that does not mean that God is not hearing your prayer. As a matter of fact, God will probably, you know, God is looking at the heart. He's not looking at how many fancy words or how, you know, how you can put a prayer together to make it poetically rhyme or, you know, fancy words. Mm-hmm. No, God wants us to come to him. Jesus told the woman at the well, he says, God is spirit, and those who worship the Father must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's what God wants. He wants a prayer spirit, a broken and a contrite spirit, a humble spirit, and he wants us to come to him with truth. Honestly, we can fool some people some of the time and some people all of the time, but you can't fool God. Fool God. So when we go to God, we go naked and not ashamed. We go, God, here I am. You know, Well, you know me. You know me. David told God in Psalm 139, he said, God, you know me. You know when I get up, when I sit down, you know every thought that I think, even before I think it. You know me. Before I lived the day, all of my days were written in your book. You know, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. You created me and knit me together in my mother's womb. God, you know me. So I'm not trying to come to you in any other way but the way that I can for who I am. And that's what I'm saying to you. God wants us to come to him as we are. That's all he wants. He wants us to come to him as who we are. Like when you go to your mom and you talk to your mother, you don't pretend to be somebody else or try to talk funny, because she'll be like, boy, what's wrong with you?
That's true.
You know, we because our parents know us. So when we talk to them, just be yourself and communicate with God. Now, public prayer is something, you know, that there's a little bit more pressure because, you know, there's the public stress, the
That's
expectation.
Right.
You're praying publicly. You know, you might sound a little differently in public prayer than you do in private prayer. So, but your private prayer, man, you know, just go as a male. You know, God, here I am, your son. You know, here I am again, you know, looking for help in this situation. Or here I am again to thank you, God, for being in my life. Or here I am again, God, I need your direction here. So, you know, go for it. Just continue. You're doing great. Continue to pray. Continue to seek God's face. You know, you're growing. Every time you know, day by day, we grow from faith to faith and glory to glory. You're a new beginner. Like you said, you're committed your life to Christ, to walk closely with him, fresh and anew. Take those baby steps that Pastor Anthony talked about. Don't let anybody despise you for your walk with God. But keep pressing. You know, keep pressing. That's all God asks is that we keep pressing. And I commend you, brother.
Grateful, not to cut you off, I'm just so grateful because, again, as I said before, it's like, you know, I was dead being in the church and no action and not moving with faith, but, you know, not being proactive, so to speak. And I'm learning these things big time later on. That's what I love about the Bible, because it reminds us over and over. And it's like God is opening his hands, giving me not just another chance. He's telling me, I'm listening to you. I'm willing to hear from you. Just come to me as you are, just as you mentioned. And that's what I do. Submit and pray to him in private.
Amen.
Can I have a piece of that, please?
Amen. Yes.
Say something. You said something. So my question to us is, who? Because we're always fronting. People are always fronting. We're trying to impress. Watch this. You're trying to impress people who don't even like you.
Oh.
They don't even like you, and you're always trying. But people are always fronting. We're trying to give people the airs that we're here and we're there, and this is where I'm at, and I'm up here and I'm up there. So, when do we ever be real? If you can't be real with God, then when do you ever be real? When is the real you? When does the real you ever show up? Because, like you said, Pastor Rebecca, God knows us. He knows the real stuff. He knows when you're hurt. He knows where your weaknesses. He knows where your strengths is. He knows when you're fronting. He knows when you're being honest. And then, like you were saying, with these people, you hear people in church, and I mean, you know, Jesus was standing there in the temple, and they were taking up the offering, and he looked and he was watching how these people came. And they were dropping big sums of money in, and the lady, young lady, she walked up and put her offering in, and Jesus said, hold it. This lady gave more than all of y'all because she gave from her heart. Then there was a Pharisee and a Samaritan. They were in the temple praying, and the The Pharisee was saying, oh, Lord, I'm this, I'm good, I do this, I'm up here and I'm do this and everything. And the Bible said that the Samaritan wouldn't even lift his head, and he beat his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me because I'm undone. I need you. I really need you. So how do we go before God? Do you go before God bragging on yourself, or do you go before God real? Real. And I believe the ones of us that go real, we're the ones who get results. Because you got to stop fronting with God. God knows everything about you. He knows everything. I'm telling you, he knows everything. There's not one thing God don't know about us. What you're trying to hide from the public, God knows that secret about you. What you're trying to impress people with, God knows the truth about you. Sometimes people are fronting because they're hurt, they're confused, they're despondent and whatever, but they want people to think, I'm up there. Let me say it, and I'm gonna end with this. You ever go and heard, like Paul said, I didn't come to you with eloquent speech. But when you ever go and you hear a person that's eloquently speaking and saying words that you don't understand, and they're just talking, you might be nodding your head, but you don't understand the thing that's coming out of their mouth. And we can't even go to God like that. Don't front. Be you. This is the one and only time that Stephen Amaker can be real. Then, hey, I'm hurrying up and getting into God's presence so I can be real. I can be transparent. I can be Stephen before God. When I can't be Stephen in front of other people, at least I got one place I can go. And I know God, hey, man, come on, sit down and talk. What's going on, Lord? You know what? Hey, it's here. I don't understand. I'm despondent. I'm hurting. Whatever. I need you. I need you. And men, especially men, we try to front that we got it all together. And a lot of times we're holding on by a thread.
Wow, Brother, now I hear your wife in the background. I'm going to let you comment, and then we're going to just continue to take some more calls. So, Brother Mel, you just keep on keeping on, Brother Mel. And, you know, you heard Apostle Amica and everything. I don't know if you had anything else. I'm just going to mute your mic as we move on.
I was just going to say that he's absolutely right. I agree with him. I'm in agreement with all three of y'all. All three of y'all gave three perspectives in terms of the ability to be yourself and praying before God. Because, like you said, God knows who we are. He created us. Absolutely. I can't disagree with you. I was just, making it my business more so now, not because of what I'm facing, but to pray often. I made it necessary. Jesus made it necessary for us to communicate with him, but I'm just taking advantage of it because it's for my soul.
Yes, amen, amen. And I just see your heart to get closer to God. And as you continue to seek him, he will be found by you even the more so. And you'll be amazed at how your relationship with God will continue to develop as you continue to go before the Lord in prayer. And then even the other things I talked about earlier when we're in situations to fight, So God bless you. And, I'm going to mute your mic. If you want to come back on later, you can just press 1 again.
Sure.
And we'll put you back on. Okay, God bless you.
Likewise.
Amen. Pastor Anthony, you were saying something. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. It's so powerful, like Apostle was saying. When we see the benefits of something, we more readily do it. Pastor, as a church, we do intercessory prayer every Tuesday night. And I just want to, as you talked about attitude, we see that prayer can change our attitude. You're an Apostle Amaga, even as he said, your circumstances, your situation, God begins to change your mindset. But I just want to shift gears a little bit and talk about intercessory prayer. The Bible says Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God the Father interceding. And that thing moves me, the fact that Jesus is still interfering with the devil's plan. He still finds a need to pray for you and I. And as we intercede or intercess, you know, we hear the word prayer warriors. I'm reminded of Cornelius, Pastor. In the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, Cornelius gets the visitation by the angel, and he says, "Your alms and your prayers have come up to God as a sweet savior, sweet smell, and God is now going to honor you and bless you." It says at the same time, Peter was on the roof praying, and God let down a sheep with four-footed beasts and all unclean animals, and took this sheep down and up three times, and Peter got a revelation. His mindset was changed through this interaction with God. He said, "Don't call anything unclean that I have made clean." And Peter, as a devout Jew, entire mindset was changed, glory be to God. But he was praying. Simultaneously, an angel was visiting Cornelius. Now watch the connection, and I want you, Pastor and Apostle, to chime in on this. Peter is in prison in the latter part of the book of Acts. The Bible says the believers are at the house praying for Peter, and all of a sudden the prison doors were open. Glory be to God. And it says by the time Peter went to the home where they were praying for him, they could not believe that it was Peter at the door, because they were interceding, praying, and believing God. And that's where God wants to get us. If the devil can get us not to believe in prayer, God is trying to get us to believe in prayer. Because there were many times as a young man, before I became a Christian, before I gave my life to Christ, I would be out in the streets of Newark getting into trouble, and I would come home and talk to my mother, and she said I was praying, or I would be praying, and I knew that one of my children was in trouble. She was interceding while her children were out in the street. She was interceding on behalf of us, knowing that we might be getting into some kind of mischief or trouble. We had a praying mother, and I can only imagine the power of her prayers and what they did to keep her children out of trouble. And, Pastor, I just want you to chime in on this, because we have to get to the place where we begin to pray for one another. The Bible says to pray for one another that we might be healed. The Bible says if my people who are called by my name, if they will pray and humble themselves, then I will heal their land. The Bible says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that we might be healed. So many times in the Bible, that's why I'm so glad we're talking about this topic today. There's so many times in the Bible, even in the book of, I think it's in Matthew around the 6th chapter, it's a mandate, it's a command to pray. He says, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. In other words, it's assumed that we're going to do this as part of our Christian duty on a daily basis. And if the enemy can get us not to pray, he can get us not to be effective. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So you can be proactive and pray that sickness won't come to your body. You can be proactive and pray that God will give you job security in a day where job security is scarce. You can pray and be a more effective and powerful parent or spouse before divorce or before trouble comes to your children. You can be proactive and pray and watch the power of prayer as it pertains to your life.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There definitely is power in prayer. You know, you spoke about so much, Pastor Emily. There's power in prayer when you pray, when you fast, when you give. These are definitely, I mean, it's a privilege. These are, I consider them to be privileges, you know, that we have as kingdom citizens in relationship with God. And it's just so powerful that you talked about the power of prayer and the power of intercession. You know, I thank God for the power of intercession. You know, we pray every Tuesday night here, and we actually intercede on the behalf of others, because there are Christians, like Brother Mel was saying, even young Christians who are still learning the Christian walk, who are not going to be as apt to pray, you know, or maybe they have not been conditioned to pray yet. But thank God for those of us who are more seasoned, and those of us who have the heart set, the mindset of, God forbid if I do not pray for you, if I fail to pray for you, you know. God forbid if I fail to pray for those who I encounter on a regular basis. God forbid if I fail to pray for my marriage or my family or all the church members, you know. God forbid. You know, so there is definitely power in intercession. And you started that out, Pastor Anthony, talking about the fact that Jesus prays for us. You know, he is seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Huh. My God, that makes me want to shout all by itself, because I know that I'm not alone. And even as we started off talking today about how we even got to prayer, is because I was encouraging and exhorting the saints to fight. No matter what you're going through, to fight. Don't just sit in the corner and allow things to happen. And I was talking about the power of the word of God, speaking God's word over your life. And then even speaking God's word in prayer. There is a prayer that's a scriptural prayer where you begin to pray the scripture over your life. You begin to pray the scripture over your relationships and over your finances. You begin to pray the scripture over your circumstances. And again, if we don't know the word, we can't pray the word. So it's just so important that all of these things, these foundations be built upon. I believe that reading the Bible is a foundation of a biblical walk. Just like going to church is part of the foundation. Prayer is part of the foundation. But these things don't cease with just because you get mature. They begin to develop, and you build upon them even the more so. So it's now not just something I have to do. Like you said, Pastor Anthony, it's a, you talked about it being a duty, you know, not something that is just a duty, you know, for me, but it's something that I must do, you know. It becomes now a necessity, is more important to me than the air that I breathe. You know, I can't go without talking to God, you know, so, and then intercession becomes another, that's a building block. So now I'm not just praying for myself, but I'm praying for others, you know, who are weaker in faith, you know, who may not be able to pray, who may be so overwhelmed that they can't pray for themselves, or they don't have the wherewithal to pray. So, that's good. And even if they are praying for themselves, there is power in numbers, you know. So even as you're praying for yourself, my prayer is only going to even assist you all the more in whatever that thing is. I might not even know what you're going through. You might not even know what a person is going through. But God will put that person on your heart, and you will begin to pray for that person. You know that person is strong in the faith, but you begin to pray for that person, and your prayer is helping that person, and that person just knows all of a sudden they got strength out of nowhere, and they don't even know that you're praying for them, but you have begun to come in and assist that person through prayer with a difficult time in their lives. That's why it's so important that we intercede for other people. And one more thing, and then I'm going to let Apostle and anybody else who wants to call in, 646-652-4832, as we talk about prayer, as we talk about fighting and prayer being a weapon. One more thing, you might not know what to pray. You might not know how to pray, But the Bible tells us not only is Jesus interceding for us, but the Holy Ghost is making intercession for us. And sometimes you can only get a moan now. Sometimes you can only say, oh, Lord, you know, but the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you to the Father, even through your moan, even through that time. It might be a scream. It might be a shout. But that is being communicated to God, and God knows, and he'll step into the middle of that situation. So there's just so much power in intercession. We got everything working together, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Godhead. You have people interceding for you, people interceding for me. We're interceding for others. And that's how the kingdom of God takes it by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Amen. And prayer is one of the avenues that we do that by. We get in there and we begin to take charge. We begin to take command by using our weapon of prayer and using the weapon of intercessory prayer. Powerful, powerful point, Pastor Anthony.
Amen, amen. And like you said, there's power in numbers, and there's power in agreement.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yes.
If I could have a piece now, because Pastor Anthony almost made me jump out my skin. When he was talking about, and the Lord had just gave me that last Saturday night. No, I'm sorry, last Friday night. Acts 12 chapter says Herod had just killed James, and he was going to kill Peter. But the Bible says that he waited, he thought it wise to wait until after Easter to kill him. So last Sunday was Easter. And I really thought about it, and the Lord began to, as I began to read and meditate on that, then, like the scripture says, the angels came to Peter and said, hurry up, get up, come on, let's go, we got to go. And get yourself together. And the saints were interceding for him. And he's at the door trying to get in for what they're praying for. So watch this. We have to watch that we don't get so the Bible says watch and pray. And so don't get so caught up in the prayer that you forget to watch. And even so, because they didn't forget to watch, then they ignored the young lady who was saying, that, watch this, that what we're praying for is at the door.
Wow.
What we in here praying for is standing at the door. The answer is at the door. And so the Lord gave me last Friday night, that blessing that you believe in me for is at the door. It's at the door. And I encourage all of us that's listening to this broadcast, what we're believing God for is at the door. It's about to knock and show itself. It's about to knock and manifest itself. And when it manifests itself, don't pray. Praise. Turn your prayer into a praise. Not a prayer of praise, a prayer of petition, but a prayer of praise. Thank you, God, because you. But Pastor Anthony said something else that is so precious to me. Like you said, that Jesus is interceding. My God. Oh, man. Jesus, the King of the world, is standing there making intercession for you and me. My God. Wow. You can't even fathom that. That Jesus, he's sitting there telling the Father, say, I know what they're talking about. Because here, the Father don't know. In other words, the flesh, the things of the flesh. He doesn't know how it feels to be in the flesh, but Jesus came and he knew what it is. So then when you say, well, I've been hurt by this, and Jesus says, I know what you're talking about. Watch for him. Yeah. I've been this way. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, I know all about that. I've been done wrong too. Father, what he's saying is, because God is all grace and mercy and love and power. So these frailties that we know of, he has not experienced that.
because of who he is. But that's why he sent Jesus to be our example, to understand, so that somebody knew what we're kind of going through. And as Pastor Rebecca said a long time ago in this broadcast, Jesus is no wimp. I was kind of upset with over the weekend they showed the Bible, the movie The Bible on the History Channel, and every person, Daniel and Jesus and all of these guys, man, they portrayed them as wimps, like softy. Man, Jesus, like she said, Pastor Rebecca said to us earlier, Jesus was a mighty man. He was a mighty man. He was a conqueror. He didn't lose no battle. And then when they showed Jesus being in the desert, he was just I can't hardly take it. Nah. Jesus spoke the word to the devil. He said it is written, which I believe he said it. He didn't say it with no whip in him. He said it in boldness and power and might that he knew he was in. He said, no. It's written. It's written. Don't take the Lord thy God. It's written. He gave him back the word. And that's what we got. That's, watch this. Taking another turn. When we pray, we got to pray the word. That's the only thing God understands is his word. You don't understand this out of foolishness. You understand. You don't understand, oh, thou omnipotent Father that will sit on the high and on the circle of the earth. He ain't listening to that. Pray his word. Remind me. He said, remind me of my word. Then your prayers will be more effective. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank
you. Amen. Wow. Amen. And now those are the prayers of petition. You know, when we go to petition God, amen, that is so powerful. Remind God of his word. What did God say? That's so powerful. It is written. Jesus told the devil, he combated the devil, and he fought the devil with the word of God. And we have to fight the devil today. The devil is still lurking, prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to destroy you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil is not playing. And you have to know that the devil will come and he will try to lie to you because he is a liar. As a matter of fact, he's the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. Amen. So the devil is definitely not content. He's not going to allow you to just breeze through your assignment on this earth without opposing you and trying to get you to throw up your hands and surrender to the other side, or throw up your hands and quit. The devil's job is to stump you, to stop you, to defeat you, to annihilate you. And that's why so much hell is coming against you. That's why you're in the middle of so much warfare right now. But you have to realize on today that God has sent us to declare, to blow the trumpet, and to declare to you that you are not defeated, that you are indeed more than a conqueror, that greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that is in the world. God has sent us to tell you on today that you already have everything that you need. You have the arsenal to be victorious in this battle that has been waged against you. Hallelujah. God is going to get the glory out of your life. He's going to get the glory out of your situation. But you must fight. You must fight the good fight of faith. And as Apostle Amica was saying, when you give God back his word, you are serving assignment. You are serving notice on the devil. Look, I know who I am, and I know whose I am, and I know that my Father is sovereign. I know that God is in control. God is in control of that situation. God is in control of your finances. God is in control. He said, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, everything that you need will be added unto you. There is no lack in Jesus. Let me say it again. There is no lack in Jesus. God already knows. He knew you would be here. He knew you would be right where you are today. He knew you would be having problems in that marriage. He knew you would be struggling. But God says the struggle is over. Apostle Amica, you said it so powerfully. The answer is at the door. answer the door. The answer to your prayer is at the door. What you have been believing God for is at the door. That is so prophetic. That is so apostolically prophetic on today. The answer is at the door. Open the door and don't shut the door on the answer to your prayer. That woman answered the door. She went and told, she slammed the door and went and said, Peter, Peter, is that the door? The answer is at the door. And they said, you're kidding me. It's a ghost. It's not Peter. It's his ghost. It's a figment of your imagination. And I'm here to tell you the answer is at the door. Hallelujah. Wrap your mind around that on today. God says, I've already provided. Look over yonder. He has already provided the ram in the bush. He has already provided the answer. He has already provided the answer. He told Moses, what's in your hands? What is in your hands? The prophet told the woman when she said she was going to, that she didn't have money to pay her bills. He said, what is in your house? She already had the answer in her house. And for some of you, it's right there in your house. For some of you, it's in your hands. And God is saying, you already have the answer. I just need you to not only, Apostle Emeka said, pray the word back to God. But put God in remembrance of his word. He will, God, know why Apostle Emeka, Pastor Anthony, do you know why God responds when we pray his word? And not all of our prayers have to be the word of God because they're different types of prayer, but when you are petitioning God, do you know why he responds when you pray his word? Because when you do that, when you respond, when you pray God's word, you're showing God your faith. You're giving God the evidence, my God. You're giving God the substance that's going to reproduce and produce the evidence. You're saying, God, here's the substance. Here's my faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm coming to you, God, with my faith. My faith, I believe your word enough, God, to reiterate your word back to you and remind you of what you said. God, you said. You said that I was the head and not the tail. You said I was above and never beneath. You said that prosperity and riches are in my house. You said I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. God, you said that I was blessed and my seed is blessed. God, you said great is the peace of my children. Put God in remembrance of his word. That shows God your faith. And God will always respond to your faith. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. So, wow, I'm going to let the guys get in. Anybody else that wants to call in, you can press 1 if you're already on the line, or you can call in 646-652-4832, and we'll put you on the air. Pastor Anthony, Apostle Amica, I'm just going to let you two go ahead and respond as we wait for our callers to continue to call in.
Yeah, Pastor, the proverb writer, if we have it noted in our church, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And you said something so powerful earlier. You said we have to know the word. We got to read our Bibles. We got to memorize some of the scriptures because God says my word won't come back void.
Oh.
And when the Bible says lean not into your own understanding, that's why we find it so challenging to pray, Pastor, because we have limited vocabulary. We have a limited mindset. We have a limited way of as far as our capacity to even think. And when we pray his word and put him in remembrance of his word, you and I have heard powerful testimonies of people who had terminal illnesses and have allowed the word of God to be their medicine.
Oh.
And they've seen a miraculous turnaround and a diagnosis when man, glory be to God, when man said there was no use. We've seen people who prayed the word, who believed the word, who rehearsed the word, and they've seen powerful results.
And if we don't know the Bible, if we don't read the Word, if we don't study the Scriptures, as you said, that there are going to be some moments where we don't feel adequate. We don't feel like we have enough words or enough communication with God. But as you said, when you pray the Scriptures, when you rehearse the Word and meditate on that Word day and night, the Bible says you'll be like a tree planted.
Mm-hmm.
He told Joshua, what did he say? Don't let what? This word depart from your mouth. You'll find good success. I feel the Holy Ghost.
Oh, Jesus.
He said, if you don't let the word, he said this word, meaning the Torah, the Bible. If you don't let this word, not your opinion, not with the latest jargon in the church or the latest cliches, even in the church that's going around, not that stuff that may not manifest anything, but if you rehearse the word, that's why I'm so glad you said to the caller earlier, it's not the eloquence of our prayer. And Apostle said, it's that sincere, genuine heart that God is going to honor. And that person, who sometimes know that modern medicine will fail them, they know the latest technology might fail them, but as we're talking about today, the Word of God can't fail, and it won't fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When Jesus was, he gave us the solution and the weapon to warfare. When he was tempted of the devil in the desert, he said, it is written. Watch this. Even Jesus didn't go off of his own mindset or thought. He went to the Word. He said, it is written. And every time the devil would come to him, he would go what? To the Word. So you can't lose if you use Word. Your prayer might not be adequate. Your prayer might not give God the understanding of what you're trying to say. But as I said earlier, he understands his word. So when we pray the word, then we pray with understanding, and then God, he takes it from there. He takes it with, because watch this, like you said earlier, he hears your faith. You believe in my word, that you rehearse my word back to me? That's how much you believe? Yes, okay. It's done. Don't worry about it again, brother. It's done. What you believe in me for is done. Because you showed God the ultimate faith. By what? By repeating and giving back to him his word. That's all. That's the key. That's the key. Jesus gave us this example. Use the word. When the devil come in as a flood, watch this. When the devil come in as a flood, God will lift up a standard. As the flood, God will supersede and take over what's going on. The devil's not going to flood you because he doesn't have that kind of ability. But God, man, shut. I was reading the other day. He says, "Don't you see?" And I'm a mile. I live a mile from the Atlantic Ocean in South Florida. And my wife and I, we go down there and we stand and watch. Watch that wave as it come in and out, and God spoke it. He spoke it. He said, "Now, water, don't you cross that line." And it's still there. What? His word. He spoke the earth. He told the earth, "Be there, stay there." And if you look at the world, it's in the middle of nowhere, hanging on nothing but a word. That's how powerful God's word is. That's why we need to use his word, because his word has power. I mean, and watch this. It has so much power that the water does not excel what God say. The earth for billions of years has been standing right there where God told it to stand.
Oh.
They and night, it comes just like God said. Come, okay, 6 o'clock in the morning, daytime. 8 o'clock at night, in some places, nighttime. But it obeys God's word. Everything is, watch this. I'm going to leave it alone because I'm like Pastor Anthony. I feel the Holy Ghost. Everything is subject. Everything. Everything is subject to God's word.
Oh, wow.
I don't care what it is. It's subject to God's word.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that is just so powerful. That what a great, again, the weapon from Ephesians that we were talking about earlier, that you have a weapon at your disposal because God, check this out, God, his word is so valuable. God will not be compared with the devil. You know, he will not, the devil is a liar. That's why God tells us clearly in Numbers, he said, I'm not a man that I should lie. You know, I will not lie nor repent about what I have said. I said it, that's it. My word is concrete. It's written in stone. You know, it's amazing how we talk about things being written in stone. God literally etched his word in stone when he began to speak to Moses up on the mountain. So God is serious about his word. He's serious about his word. And we, as the children of God, have to be serious about God's word. It's like he's our father. Again, we talk about God the Father. We are the children of God. It's like my child comes to me and says, Mommy, you said you were going to buy me a laptop or an iPad. Now, I told her I was going to get her an iPad. To her, there was no doubt in her mind that I was going to buy her that iPad. So until she gets that iPad, what is she going to do? She's going to remind me that I told her I was going to buy her an iPad. And you know, God has no problem with us in the same way with us reminding him of what he has told us. You know, I believe you. You said, God, you said you were going to, and I believe you. And even though now there's circumstances in my life that want me to stop believing you, God, I still believe you. And that's what we have to have, that kind of faith, that kind of conviction that no matter what is going on, think about Jesus. Apostle Amica, you've been talking about Jesus in the wilderness and how Jesus went through so many different circumstances in the wilderness. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was hot. He was lonely. And then the Bible says he was weak. And after 40 days, here comes the devil at the lowest point. As Jesus was in that wilderness for 40 days, it says, one of the gospel writers says the devil tempted him the whole 40 days. And then there's the gospel writer that says, I believe it was John, says at the end of the 40 days, the devil came and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And the devil began to bring different temptations to Jesus according to what he presumed to be Jesus' weak points. And the devil will always try to hit you at your weakest point. He will always try to come and tempt you in the area of what he will perceive to be, the devil will perceive to be an unmet need. But I'm telling you here today, I'm here to tell you that with God, all of your needs are always met. They may not have manifested yet. I mean, Jesus knew that he was going to get some bread. He knew that he was going to get some water. But more importantly than that, Jesus told the devil, he said, man does not live by bread alone. But by what? This is so key to what the men of God have been talking about on today. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. My God, Jesus was saying, you know what, bread is not even that important to me right now. You know what, water is not that important to me. Even who you think I am, because the devil questions the identity of Christ. If you be the Son of God, you know why? You're the Son of God and you're hungry, you're hot, you don't have a roof over your head, you're homeless. You know, you're going through all of this and you're the Son of God. If you be the Son of God, prove it. And let me tell you something, people of God, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. What we want you to be aware of today is that you are who God says you are. God has already provided for your every need. You might not have what you need right now. It might not have manifested what God has said about you right now. But hold on, because the answer is at the door. Apostle Amica reminded us on today that the answer is at the door. It's coming. It shall be made manifest. Continue to do what we have been talking about all program long. Continue to delight yourself in the Lord. Continue to stay in relationship with God. Continue to take God at his word. Continue to remind God of his word. Continue to walk by faith, and that thing shall come to pass. Though it tarry, wait on it, because it will surely come to pass. I don't know who I'm preaching to on today, but I'm here to tell you on today that God is not a man that he should lie. In his word, heaven and earth may pass away, and they will, but God's word will stand forever. Stand in the power of his might. Stand on the word of God. Walk with God. Treasure your relationship with God more than you treasure anything else. Your relationship with anyone else, the bread that you eat, the water that you drink. Make that relationship with God your most important thing. And watch God. Watch God. There is no good thing that God will withhold from you. As you love him, as you walk in his way, as you walk in relationship with him, there's nothing that God will withhold from you. No good thing will God withhold from you. Take God at his word, because his word is sure. So, wow, we have 12 minutes. If anybody else wants to talk to us, you can call in or you can press 1 and we'll put you on the air. Other than that, we're just going to ride this wave because you know, God is just, I believe that people are receiving so much. God showed me today, just now, Apostle Amica, Pastor Anthony, and those of you who are here, this is a group, it's a mastermind group. You know, he told me, iron sharpens iron. And when we come together here, we are not only encouraging you, but we are being sharpened in the things of the Spirit. And let me tell you something, we're going from faith to faith and glory to glory on this broadcast, and God is getting the glory out of our lives, even as we grow in him week by week. You're not just hearing, but your faith is increasing. And as you come week by week and listen to the archives, and as you come and sit around this table with us, God is doing a magnificent thing supernaturally. There's supernatural manifestation going to come forth as a result of what God is doing on these Saturdays. Amen. So, guys, we have 12, about 10 more minutes, and I just feel God's glory in this place today.
Amen. You said something so very, very powerful, and I don't want us to miss it. You told us that Jesus, watch this. Jesus let the devil know that bread and meat and food and stuff like that is not as important as the word of God.
Wow.
That's what you just told us. That's what you just said. Because he commanded stones to turn to bread. Jesus said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone. But what is our life? What is our food? By every word that's come out of the mouth of God. That's our food. That's our food. If we can connect to that, that our spiritual food is more important to us than the natural steak and potatoes and ribs and french fries and all of this. What's more important? What fills, watch this, what fills you up greater? Just a good meal or the word? What do you get more joy in? In the word, ingesting, digesting, in taking that word, or sitting down and eating a natural meal? That's it. That's it. And that's what we have to. That's what we have to. That's what we have to. We have to determine what is more important to us: the Word of God, or the things of the natural, the natural world. What's more important? Getting your hair done, or laying out before God in a shut-in. What's more important? Keeping appointments, business appointments, so that you can succeed and excel in the natural world, or being in the presence of God in prayer. What's more important to you? What do you get more joy out of? Only you know, and God knows, because a lot of people in religion, I get more joy out of the Word in the presence of God. Well, then why are you not there more? Why do we always see you and experience you talking of flesh? Thank you.
Wow. Pastor Anthony? Wow. Amen.
It's going to be determined. It's going to be determined what you get more joy out of, because the test is going to come, and the test is going to show itself. Dr. Rebecca, I don't know if you lost me or I lost you, but for, if you're listening, this is what's going to determine more what your joy is, where your joy comes from. In the Word or in the natural, in the presence of God, is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, is fullness of joy. There's no joy. A steak dinner can't do it, because although it might be for this moment, but that Word, it'll be there tonight, tomorrow night. Even as we go ahead on throughout the rest of the next week, that Word will be there. You can always feast on that Word. My father used to say, it's like a cow cud. Cow will chew that grass, digest it, and swallow it, and then every once in a while he'll belch it up and chew on it some more. And that's what we got to do with the Word of God. We got to digest it, take it in, and get some more.
Wow, praise the Lord. It looks like my phone got cut off. I was praying that Apostle Amica was still talking. Amen, hallelujah. But it looks like he had to call back in also, and I don't know where Pastor Anthony went. But, you know, that's what happens when God is getting the glory. We know that the warfare intensifies. But we thank God for the time that we had together. Apostle Amica, I see you there. Did you got cut off also, or did you...
I didn't know what happened to me. I know we lost you, and then I talked some more, but then you didn't come back. So I said, well, maybe it was me that was lost. And
it was me, and I was like I was saying, I was hoping you would keep talking, because I was trying to, my phone died. I thought I had it plugged in, and I didn't. And it totally died, so I cut myself off pretty much. But I'm glad that you were able to keep talking. And Pastor Anthony, it looks like we lost him also. But God is definitely has spoken. God has spoken in this past 4 minutes, this past 2 hours of the broadcast. And Pastor Anthony, I thank you, Apostle Amica, for coming. And just like I said, being a part of this I call it a mastermind group, you know, as we all come together to listen, to hear, to talk about the Word of God. It's definitely a place where you will be sharpened in the spirit. So I just thank God for you, Apostle Amica, just taking what time you do take out of your schedule to be with us on Saturdays.
Thank you for allowing me to spend it. We are making preparation even as we speak. I was in muting myself and working at the same time. But the Lord is doing great things in my wife and myself life, and we're packing and getting things together for our journey back to the East Coast, and so we thank God. Keep us in prayer, those of you that are praying and interceding for us. We need your prayers now. We really need your prayers because we're coming back to the New York, New Jersey area. And so we just need to solicit the prayers of the righteous that God will help us make the right decision, or rather intercessions, and do things in a smooth way. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Yes, amen. Praise God. Well, we will definitely keep you in the beautiful wife, your beautiful wife, in prayer. I'm looking forward to meeting her. Wow, because she'll be here in New York, New Jersey. We're looking forward to the fellowship that we will have over here. Wow, we're going to have a blessed time even going forward, having you so close. God bless you all. Thank you all for being with us on today. Continue to pray. Continue to stay in fellowship with the Lord. God loves you, and he wants to hear from you. So make sure that you're talking to God. Remember that you are more than a conqueror. You're already victorious. You already have won. No matter what happens on this next week, remember Pastor Rebecca saying to you, the battle's already won. You know, you've already gotten the victory. You just have to walk that thing out and stay in faith, stay in prayer, and finally, praise God anyhow. We didn't talk about praying in tongues. For those of you who have the gift of tongues, you know how powerful that is. You edify yourself. That's your intercessory language with the Lord. Keep praying. Whatever you do, keep praying. So God bless you. Visit us at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Keep chasing after God. Amen. Know that God loves you, and so do we. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.